This is Lewis Rogers. Welcome to the Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. Capital Square is a national real estate investment company with its headquarters in Richmond, Virginia. And I'm Lewis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square. The Real Estate Show is dedicated to topics of interest to real estate investments, locally and nationally. Thanks to WRVA, we're going on about 30 episodes on tax-advantaged real estate investing, along with a few shows on the economy, demographics, the Virginia Port, education in the Commonwealth, and that's a big part of why Virginia is the number one state for business, according to CNBC and Business Facilities Magazine, plus interviews with my favorite local Navy SEAL legislator, John McGuire, and Virginia Governor Youngkin. Take a look at Capital Square's website to replay past radio shows. While you're on the website, take a look at the available real estate investments under open offerings. Now, this is a little inside baseball, but because Capital Square uses Rule 506 of Regulation D governing private placements, I told you it was inside baseball, we're able to show property offerings on the Capital Square website. You can take a virtual tour of available properties without leaving the comfort of your home, and you will see a large number of properties available for immediate investment. Capital Square emphasizes diversification. Quote, don't put too many eggs in one basket, or don't put all your eggs in one basket. And I know it's a corny expression, but the point is not to overly concentrate by investing in a single asset. Diversify to reduce risk. To aid diversification, Capital Square maintains a very large inventory of available properties. First, today's topic, Class A, and we call it 4- and 5-star, manufactured housing communities, all age-restricted, which means for retirees in Florida. Second, Class A and B multifamily properties in the Southeast, and that's Virginia through Texas and Tennessee, Florida, all of the Southeast. And third, net leased medical and industrial properties across the nation. And then finally, a real estate investment trust, or REIT, for stable income and growth. REITs are an excellent method of making a passive investment in real estate with tax advantages. REITs invest in the highest quality, so-called investment-grade real estate across the nation. Congress created REITs in the early 1960s to make it easy for regular folks to invest in real estate. You can invest without the tenants, toilets, and trash of direct real estate ownership and operation. And finally, last but not least, Capital Square sponsors Opportunity Zone funds for tax deferral and exclusion. Capital Square has sponsored 6, soon to be 7, Opportunity Zone funds in Richmond, Raleigh, and Charleston, South Carolina, with more in the pipeline. The most recent OZ fund, and that's to build a mega high-rise mixed-use apartment community in downtown Raleigh, sold out very quickly. So OZones are finally taking off. Now let's switch gears here and just give you a little overview 2021 Capital Square wrap-up. So what have we done at Capital Square this year, you ask? Glad you asked. $1.4 billion of real estate acquisitions in 2021. $1.4 billion. And that's for the various investment programs. 25 acquisitions last year, including 5 MHC properties, right?
That's correct.
5 of 25 were MHCs that we'll talk about today. And dispositions or sales, over $500 million in profitable sales of investment programs. The sale of a program proves the investment thesis. A property was acquired, it was financed, it was managed, and at the optimal time it was sold, with the sales proceeds returned to the investors. Sold multifamily investments generated an average of 2x equity multiple, 2x. That means the investors received $2 for every $1 invested. What a great year. Most investors in sold DST 1031 programs reinvested with Capital Square. And they did that by structuring another Section 1031 exchange, continuing the tax deferral. Many plan to, again, this is corny, we use lots of corny expressions, many plan to swap till they drop, at which time the taxable gain that has been deferred over and over and over again, over many exchanges, I will be forgiven when the heirs receive a step up in basis. You may recall this discussion from the first three episodes of The Real Estate Show way back when. And now the good news, tax reform did not happen. Congress did not change the tax laws. Congress did not amend Section 1031. Capital gains and ordinary income tax rates did not go up. That's a lot of good nuts. Congress did not amend the ozone legislation or any of the rules governing depreciation deductions that make real estate such a desirable tax-advantaged investment. No other asset has any concept like depreciation. It's amazing. It increases the after-tax returns from real estate. All this is a big relief for the real estate industry. And now, today's topic. Now let's introduce Bob Miller and MHC, Mobile Home Management. Welcome, Bob Miller. How you doing?
Good. Thank you, Lewis.
Bob and his firm, Mobile Home Management, is Capital Square's partner specializing in manufactured housing investments. Bob is the founder and CEO of MHM. He currently oversees a portfolio of, 11 MHCs?
That's correct.
In Florida with Capital Square, 10 are DST offerings for 1031 exchanges, and one is an LLC offering for income and growth. Do we have properties on the water?
We sure do. We've got properties on both the east and west coast of Florida, directly on what I would call the intercoastal waterway. On the east coast, it's the intercoastal. On the west coast, they call it something else, but direct access to the ocean and to the Gulf of Mexico on the respective coasts. And several of our properties have, two of our properties have docks, fishing piers, additional boat docks and lifts, and we're in the process right now of adding some additional lifts to one of our communities that'll expand about probably another third of available dock space for the boaters in our community.
Boy, that sounds like a very nice lifestyle.
Intercoastal living on an affordable lifestyle.
Boy, is that why the competition is so stiff when we're buying these properties? It seems like REITs and family offices and rich people come out of the woodwork to compete with us.
You know, Lewis, I would tell you that, you know, we've seen for the last 5 to 7 years an influx of more buyers in the market. Private and public REITs have both been a big part of that growing demand. And I think I attribute it to two things. First, exactly what Fannie Mae was looking at in providing us a beneficial interest rate. It's great collateral. It's a safe investment. The REITs themselves can take these things in. They know they've never depreciated in value. They're always going to go up. So it's a safe investment for them. You know, and I would think the second portion of it is in a market where you have a higher demand than you've got supply, you're always going to continue to push up the value proposition. And that's the case with manufactured housing. We don't get very many greenfields out of the ground and startups in the manufactured housing industry. We've had two in the last 5 years in the state of Florida, and I can count on one hand over the last 20 years that we've seen come out of the ground. So with that, the demand continues to grow, and the revenues are there, and it's a safe, stable investment. So with those kind of metrics around the underwriting side, it attracts a lot of high net worth and large REITs to the category.
Well, that is great stuff. And we're exclusively in Florida. We're going into 2 years into this COVID pandemic. Florida's had kind of a different approach. The governor there's had a kind of a different approach versus a lockdown. What's happened to these properties during the pandemic?
Well, I'd say number one, we've had literally no impact on aged receivables, which is, you know, in these types of times in our country, not that I can say we've had identical situations that I can think of in my life cycle, but in these times, the first thing you worry about is, are they paying their lot rent or are they paying it on time? That has not been an issue for us. And in Florida, you know, obviously Governor DeSantis has done a good job and a lot of acclaim from the way he's approached COVID. And we've gotten an awful lot of influx of residents from the Northeast and Midwest coming down and saying, I'm not going to be a snowbird and coming down for a few months in the wintertime anymore. I want to make my permanent residency in Florida, which has really created heightened demand way beyond what we've got capabilities of fulfilling. I wish we could start stacking these homes on top of each other, but we can't. So at this point, you know, COVID has been, for our state and the state of Florida, you know, it's been something that everybody is tired of being cooped up like anywhere in the country, but it has been a good transition out. Our residents, our senior residents as a whole have really done a great job coming in, taking some classes. We're doing some in-home classes to learn the internet. They've got iPads now. They're doing FaceTime, Zoom calls with family. They've really gotten more intellectually integrated in technology that we didn't see before. We've just about doubled the amount of our residents that can get on and do a FaceTime call with their family today and have email addresses, which is different for our sector.
That is surprising. Before the pandemic, most of these folks would need to get one of their children or grandchildren to help them open up. Can you click on the link? Ah, what's a link? I need to call my daughter in to help me click on the link. No, just click on the link. What's a link?
We had 35 to 40% of our residents with email addresses prior to the pandemic. We're over 88% right now with email addresses and know how to get on it and do it. But the interesting thing is, Lewis, they had to learn that remotely because the grandchildren couldn't come down to visit, nor could the children. So they had to learn it remotely. So they leaned on us as community operators really to help teach them and guide them. And I think they've done a fantastic job stepping into the new age.
Do I understand there's no income tax in Florida? And so if you're retiring, you know, I see you're wearing a Steelers, or as you guys call it, a Stillers jacket. Pennsylvania has pretty high taxes. Why would you pay Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, California taxes when you could live in a warm climate and have no income taxes?
And we can still watch the Steelers on TV.
You can still watch them on TV. TV. Yeah. Let's hope Ben has a good retirement. He gave you 15 good years?
He gave us plenty of good years, and my guess is he's coming back to coach.
Oh, that would be great. Well, let's shift gears to one of the prime benefits of manufactured housing, and that's affordability. It gives you the benefit of your own house, your own yard, but it's affordable. How does a manufactured house compare to a single-family stick-built house?
Well, like anything else, Lewis, if you can build it in an efficient factory setting, two things happen from that. Number one, you can control the variables a lot better in a manufacturing environment. You don't have to worry about different subs on every house and the changes in temperatures outside. All those things are done in a climate-controlled factory environment. And when you work with wood products, it's important to do that to get the right result. The second thing you can do is you can start getting some economies of scale because you set up a high-efficient production line that does the finishes of the house in stages. And each one has a separate department from the base flooring and drywall all the way through to the finishes like crown moldings and countertops. So each one of those stages is highly efficient in manufacturing. You can buy it in bulk and you're not having to deal with a whole variety of 20 different subcontractors that may or may not show up on time in the actual stick-built house. So we pick up quality, and we also pick up efficiency and dollar savings.
About half the cost, Bob?
About half the cost. What's the cost comparison?
You know, I would tell you the cost comparison today, if we're looking at a ground level 2,000 square foot home today in Florida, in a nice location, let's say 5-10 minutes from the beach, they can be into that home for under $200,000, have all the high-end amenities such as granite countertops and other nice finishes, full walk-in closets, his and hers walk-in closets, and all the space that a retired couple needs. Under $200,000 and be paying lot rents in the neighborhood of $700 to $1,000 on average, depending on the overall quality and amenities of the community, and typically be in a gated community. In comparison to anything else that you're going to buy, most likely will be 20 to 30 years old, 2 to 3 times that price, high tax base every year, obviously a lot more maintenance related costs because they're having to take care of their yards and everything else. and we take care of that outside yard for them. They're doing their flowers and their individual plantings. We do the rest for them.
And once they're in, they're invested, and they're paying the lot rent that's about half, probably less than half of what they would pay in an apartment community of similar quality.
Less than half of living with 300 other families. They have their own house and their own yard and their own pink flamingo.
That's right. Sharing a wall.
The big one this year has been garage. They have their own garage. If they want an open carport or they want it enclosed, it's their choice. But that is one of the big benefits that we've heard this year that most residents would like to upgrade to, is having a private garage, a 1.5, 2-car or single car garage.
Do you understand they use them for other things besides cars?
Absolutely. Most of the residents have golf carts so they can get around through the community. Some of our communities are very close to the Publix and Walgreens and local stores, and they can actually drive them straight to the stores. For example, in Vero Beach, they'll get a license tag for the golf cart and do all their shopping in a golf cart and come back home. And then motorcycles for some of the seniors are still popular, especially for the younger senior retiring group. So they'll keep their Harley Davidson or whatever they might have in the garage, their golf cart. If they're boaters or fishermen, they've got those things for the boating and fishing there, all the life vests and everything. So it becomes a workroom for them, maybe a craft room for her, yep, a true garage, and then an assembly of other things that are their hobbies.
Oh, that's very interesting, very efficient, very pleasant, almost like owning your own home, because guess what? You own your own home on our land.
And that pride of ownership just creates a low turnover environment, which again, just from all the fundamentals, it just creates a great environment for us.
Unlike someone with, say, a renter mentality, these people are owners, and so they take phenomenal care of the property, the infrastructure, the clubhouse. They pull up weeds when they see them, and probably will fuss at you if there's a piece of paper flying around in the air.
Yeah, as George saw this past week, I mean, there is a pride of ownership. Even in the newer communities that we buy before we amenitize them, there's a pretty high, level of pride in that ownership. And it shows just from the outside of their house how they're caring for their gardens that are there, their carports or garages. Residents care. And these are seniors today that are coming and have decided permanently that their destination is going to be Florida. So this is it for them. This is their golden years. They're going to spend the rest of their life in this home. The younger generation may change jobs and bounce around from one apartment to another, different cities, different states. But this generation has decided Florida is it. That's where they're going to put their roots, and they're there for the long haul.
Wonderful. And what do we do to make the parks more desirable, nicer places to live?
Number one on our list typically is security. Gating the communities, getting our cloud-based camera systems in, making sure that the fencing and security in the communities are at the utmost. Sometimes the residents are retiring in Florida as a couple. Sometimes it's his or her retirement down there only. We get more of the women, meaning us guys tend to die off a little bit sooner than the females do. So
that's a terrible thought.
Want to make sure that she, I'm not sure what arrangement they made, but somehow that happens. But they want to make sure that they're safe and comfortable. From there, we actually take the amenity selections right to the residents. They get it in the form of a Google survey, and they choose the amenities that they would like to repurpose or like to add to their communities. And as a majority vote within the community, that's what we add. And pickleball, extremely popular today, has basically replaced shuffleboard. Dog parks with dog spas today and covered seating areas for the pet owners, very popular today. Obviously, the roads we typically redo, brick paver driveways are a typical function of our communities. The communities as a whole just take on a very luxurious, more resort style configuration and aesthetics.
What do you call those tiki hut things that you're putting in the parks that are so cool looking?
Internally, we still refer to them as tikis, but they're called cheekies because they're larger than tikis. They're actually built by the Seminole Indians in the state of Florida.
Seminole Indians, like Chief Osceola at University of Florida?
Absolutely. The tribe still builds them out of natural cypress. And there's still woven ceilings, just like they always have been, with natural wind gussets in them. And let me tell you, they outlast any shingle pavilion you could ever build. They're absolutely fantastic, and it adds to the overall decor and feel of the communities, especially when they're on the water. They just look unique, special. People love the smell of them when they first come in because it's got that natural cypress smell, and they've been very popular with our residents.
And we're putting so many in that Bob is now nicknamed Tiki Bob.
Tiki Bob. Oh, man. We'll have to get you into a Jimmy Buffett concert and make you a parrot head. But we digress a little. On average, what are we putting in, a couple of million dollars into an average park?
You know, I would tell you 3 to 6 million, 3 to 5 million is a good average in the communities. The communities don't need much infrastructure underground. Most of it's above ground items that are aesthetic in nature and or security related in nature. So they're things that really impact the resident that they can reach out and touch and see and understand that we're making an investment not only in the community, but also in the value of their home. The more we do there, the higher the resale values of their home, and it's a win-win for us and for the resident.
Oh, that's a great point. And I understand we're buying these communities from a certain type of mom and pop operator typically. What bearing does that have on these parks and the way they've been managed and how we improve them to be more modern and efficient?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The community owners today are oftentimes the one who developed and built the community originally, or the son of the person who built the community. Our average seller age sits somewhere right now about 86 years old. In our first year, all of our acquisitions came from sellers that were over the age of 90. So what we're seeing with these long-term owners, and most of them are truly long-term, we're seeing that those owners get so close to their resident that after a while, they tend to be too soft on the lot rent increases, and they get behind the market increases, and then they can't really catch it up. They typically have no debt on them, Lewis, so their cash flows are really good. So they take a posture of, you know, I'd rather be friends than be rich on these legacy residents, and they're just a bit soft on them. But they're also a bit soft with improvements, too. They don't spend a lot of money in CapEx. They'll keep the community working from an underground standpoint and making sure the buildings, roofs are changed and things. But they don't spend a great deal of money doing the things that we do to upgrade or change out amenities and revamp a complete clubhouse inside and out.
This is Lewis Rogers, and you've been listening to The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. We've been talking about something that's been around a while, kind of a shrinking asset, the manufactured housing communities in Florida, what we would call Class A, 4 and 5 star. They're very affordable, highly amenitized. They're nearly 100% occupied with near 100% collection by retirees who take pride in ownership of their home and their community. And it just creates a very stable investment, strong demand, strong occupancy, strong everything. Just a phenomenal asset, and we're thrilled to have Bob as our partner to bring these assets to our 1031 exchange investors. So thank you for joining The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square. Invest locally, invest nationally, invest with Capital Square on a tax-advantaged basis.
Living in the sweet Virginia breeze.
The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Lewis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk.
Living in the sweet Virginia breeze.